in 1998, I took on a post with Ikrom. Yuka Jokileta retired from his job as, I guess, manager of architectural conservation inside the Ikrom organization because he'd arrived at the retirement age of 60. Pretty early age for retirement, as far as I'm concerned these days, speaking as a 62-year-old, but nevertheless, it was a kind of imposed limit within the international system. I applied for the job, was interviewed, and was given the job. And I went off to Rome with my family for 6 years, and part of the job was to take on Yuka's role as World Heritage Coordinator for ICROM. So I changed hats. I suddenly, instead of being involved very much with the evaluation end of things, I became involved with post-nomination questions or post-inscription questions. ICROM is very much an organization concerned with education and training. It has other roles. It's involved with documentation, advocacy, and so on and so forth. But it's primarily, and was created, I think, primarily to be a training and education institution. And as the list grew, ICROM, I think, became comfortable with the idea of giving post-inscription advice about management and about training needs on the site and began to interest itself in how they could help sites that are already on the list do a better job. They didn't necessarily go around and check, you know, and with the sites, but as reports began to come in of problems, they would often volunteer and say, well, we can help with that kind of thing. We could organize a regional workshop and bring people together around risk preparedness, etc. Much of this was ad hoc. Much of it, I think, was concerned with the developing world. It would have been possible for me to stay longer at ICROM than the 6 years I was there. But we made a family decision to come back. It took a year to find a situation to move to back in Canada. And happily, I found the Heritage Conservation Program at Carleton. And so I had an outlet for, you know, continuing interest with World Heritage when I came back. And I was also given the chance by ICOMOS, as soon as I came back, to become involved with as a kind of World Heritage advisor, to use their term. Working in a kind of ad hoc way, primarily on the preparation of state of conservation reports, monitoring reports, but sometimes assessing requests for international assistance, sometimes assessing mission reports done by ICOMOS for their accuracy or their credibility prior to being finalized, sometimes just responding to issues, sometimes preparing a background document for an international expert meeting, such as the one that took place in 2005, I think, or maybe 2007 on buffer zones. At any rate, they treated me as a kind of expert they could call on for a variety of things, and that suited me just fine. And so it allowed me to sort of fit in what I could fit in a year. I was involved occasionally with the nomination process, but much more at the state of conservation end of things. And I continue to do that to the present day. I have been involved with World Heritage activities as well, I should say, throughout the whole period after I left ICOMOS in 1993 with UNESCO itself, who occasionally asked me to do missions. Not ICOMOS missions, but UNESCO missions involving World Heritage properties, sometimes helping states parties develop a nomination, as I did with Georgetown in Guyana in Latin America in 1998. Sometimes working with other governments, such as the Norwegian government, involved in their conservation teams, looking at World Heritage sites, such as Solovetsky, where the Norwegians sent me in the summer of 1998. So there's, you know, I've worked then in summarizing all this, I've worked with ICOMOS in a formal way and more recently in an informal way. I've worked with ICROM in a formal way for 6 years, and I've worked on and off with UNESCO in preparing bits and pieces of advice that finds its way into reports that go to the committee.
Just before we move on to the next question, just for the record, it's very clear, but perhaps a little more on what you personally did with the role that you had at ICROM. You moved into the position of Yuka Jokileto, which was, I guess, manager of architectural conservation. And what did you do with that process or that program?
We tried to make it a more active role. ICROM would go to the meetings and share what they knew about sites. If they had something to say, they'd offer it. But they didn't have a World Heritage program per se. In fact, they had never received a penny from the World Heritage Committee to do anything. So it was really a kind of, you know, effort on their part to share their experience and their knowledge with the World Heritage Committee. For better or worse, when I arrived, I asked the question, well, why don't we have a budget? Everybody else has a budget. And if we do things, you know, why shouldn't we be supported for that effort? We began in 1999 to propose to the committee for a budget. In 1998, when I joined, we still had no budget. In 99, at the meeting in Marrakesh, we proposed a modest budget of about $80,000. This caused a big stir in the room. I didn't expect the big stir. I knew there were some people who were a bit disturbed. But then after eight or nine people had spoken against it, I thought, well, this one is going down the tubes. Until the delegate, I think from Benin, took the microphone and said, we actually like ICROM very much in Benin because they have a program, and they've had a series of programs that have been directed at supporting African capacity development for cultural heritage. It began a decade and a half ago with museums, but there's a new program called Africa 2009, which is meant to develop capacity of those involved with the built heritage. And ICROM, in its own budget, has very, very little money for this activity. They find the money, you know, from other development agencies around the world and build their resources and implement this program. And this is what we think they're doing here. They're looking for seed money from the committee, which they're going to match or marry with funds from other sources. And so we see this as very positive. And they're not looking, we don't see it as double dipping because they're not taking money for services they already provide. The presence of these people in this room from ICROM is already assured by their own budget, you know, maybe. But this is money for projects. This is money for program areas, money for important priorities of the committee. He was then followed by eight or nine other speakers who, in equally enthusiastic terms, supported ICROM. And so the pendulum swung from all the way over here to all the way over here, and in the end, the money was approved. In the documents we had prepared for that meeting, and we kept on this track in future years, we went back to committee decisions. We didn't sort of invent things to do that we thought were important. We went back to committee decisions and said, this seems to be a priority. We would propose a program or a series of projects in this region to respond to these kinds of problems. One of the program areas we picked up, it was one of our programs, but the committee in 1996 had looked at this program and encouraged ICROM to develop this program and to link it more strongly to World Heritage. This was the ITUC program. ITUC, as an acronym, stands for Integrated Territorial and Urban Conservation. So it was a vessel which we had invented in ICROM to think about the management of historic cities. And at some point, at a meeting I wasn't at in 1996, I guess Yuka Yokileta would have presented the essence of this program just for information, and the words were encouraging. And this gave us an opportunity, again, in the developing world, to think of things we could do to strengthen management capacity for historic cities.